Next item.
Item 63, authorize the City of Portland to apply to join the Safe Cities Network to provide technical support to legal service providers.
All right. This is mine. Colleagues, approval of this resolution will authorize the city to apply to join in a national network of other jurisdictions. I'd like to invite the following speakers to come to the table to present at this time. Winto Johannes, policy advisor from my office, Lisa Lesage from Immigration Counseling Services, and Victoria Muirhead from Innovation Law Lab. Welcome. Thank you for being here. And please state your name for the record before you begin.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Winto Johannes, and I serve as policy advisor in Commissioner Udaly's office. Today, I'm joined by two members of the Oregon Ready Coalition, as well as other supporters in chambers, to update you on the universal representation work and to seek your approval to submit an application on behalf of the city to join the Safe Cities Network convened by the Vera Institute of Justice. The Vera Institute, founded in 1961, seeks to drive change to urgently build and improve justice systems that ensure fairness, promote safety, and strengthen communities. As a leading national policy and research institute, it is currently operating more than 50 projects in at least 40 states. After nearly a year of the Trump administration's relentless attacks on immigrant communities, Vera launched the Safe Cities Network in November 2017. Through this initiative, Vera aimed to coordinate and support local jurisdictions in their effort to launch universal representation programs to provide legal defense to immigrants facing deportation. The 12 jurisdictions who participated in year one received Catalyst grant funding and technical guidance, including trainings for legal service providers, as well as data collection and strategic communication support. At that time, the Office of Community and Civic Life and the New Portlanders Policy Commission were convening the Welcoming Inclusive Sanctuary City Task Force, and the Oregon Ready Coalition was developing a proposal for the state's first universal representation program. These efforts converged, and the creation of a legal defense fund emerged as the task force's priority recommendation to council in March of 2018. Shortly thereafter, council unanimously approved $500,000 in funding to launch Oregon Ready's proposal for the first universal representation program in Oregon. Joining the SAFE network will help Oregon Ready deliver on directives from Council to track clear outcomes, to leverage the city's initial investment, and to expand the network to neighboring jurisdictions. Oregon Ready's innovative model, coupled with Council's shared and unwavering commitment to this work, stand to put Portland on the map as an emerging national leader in this area. Finally, today's resolution is narrowly focused on gaining authorization to join the SAFE Cities network. However, each time we discuss the topic of universal representation, it's important to highlight the following two things for the general public. One, immigration policies absolutely have an impact on local communities. In fact, there are currently 776 residents with pending removal cases in East Portland, according to the Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse. And two, data from the Portland Immigration Court indicates that 82% of cases where parties are unrepresented result in orders of deportation. With representation, only 29% of the final decisions result in removal. This stark disparity makes it clear that universal representation is ultimately about protecting everyone's constitutional right to due process and preventing the deportation of those who have a legal right to stay in the communities they call home. The Safe Cities Network, will help us advance the city's goals and expand our community partners' capacities. Thank you for your consideration.
Hi, my name is Victoria Bejarano Muirhead, and I'm representing the Innovation Law Lab as well as the Universal Representation Committee of the Oregon Ready Coalition. I'd like to extend my thanks to the council for the opportunity to address you today, and I'd also like to recognize my colleagues from the Oregon Ready Coalition that are here today. And I'd also like to thank you for making the vision of universal representation a reality here in Portland. Thanks to your generous support, the Equity Corps of Oregon was launched in October 2018. This crucial investment assures that Portlanders that are in deportation proceedings will have legal representation. And as Winta shared, legal representation is one of the key indicators of whether or not someone will receive immigration relief. For context, all of the cases won between 2000 and 2012 were reviewed, and it was found that 95% of those winning cases had legal representation, whereas only 5% were able to be successful without it. Similarly, other jurisdictions that have become part of the Safe Cities Network have seen the number and percentage of cases won rise since implementing universal representation programs. Though it's only been a little bit more than 3 months since Equity Corps of Oregon launched here, I want to share what your investment has made possible so far. Since October 2018, firstly, over 50 community navigators have been trained. These community navigators are either staff or volunteers embedded at social services, religious, and community organizations. These navigators now have the tools and training to make them empowered to conduct intakes and send referrals to the Universal Representation Program. And they've already sent over 70 referrals our way. Secondly, over 140 individuals have been screened for legal representation services, with about 100 ultimately eligible for case placement. Among the cases that we have placed so far include cases for asylum-seeking families who were separated at the border as a result of the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy. Thirdly, in the span of 3 months, we've held three workshops, two geared around knowing your rights, and one that provided assistance to individuals who were filing formal asylum applications. The workshops were well attended, and people were really excited about finally having a tool to complete very important legal work for their cases. Fourthly, because of this investment, we've been able, our Equity Corps attorneys have provided many basic services to individuals who are in removal proceedings. For example, filing the asylum applications, and changing immigration court venues for individuals who were released from detention elsewhere and then came to Portland as their final destination. And finally, I want to share with you that the very first case that was placed through Equity Corps did go to court. Unfortunately, because of the federal government shutdown, they haven't received a final decision yet. However, in this particular case, it's important to mention that legal representation was provided for a family that up until then had not been able to secure an attorney. And now because of the Equity Corps program, they have a fighting chance at winning their claim and being able to stay here in Portland. Given the federal government's repeated attempts to unfairly and unlawfully target immigrants of color, local action is more important than ever before. Joining Safe Cities is an important step forward. And by doing so, we affirm Portland's commitment to being a welcoming city.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lisa Lesage. I'm an attorney and the executive director of Immigration Counseling Service, and we are one of the direct service providers in Equity Corps. We're also Oregon's oldest and only independent nonprofit law firm providing services to immigrants since 1978. And we also have the state's only unaccompanied minors program where we represent all children who are under the age of 18 detained by ICE here through the Vera Institute of Justice. And we've been working with the Vera Institute since 2008, so they've been a partner to us in providing funding with tactical and technical assistance for the support and the legal services that we provide. Vera reached out to ICS when they heard about the city of Portland's discussions surrounding the Sanctuary. Too many S's. And asked us and Oregon Ready Causa to participate in the first Vera-sponsored Safe Cities Conference in New York City. And it was really inspiring listening to cities and municipalities around the country how this funding for universal defense has made a profound difference in their communities. How they've been able to leverage city and county and state funding to provide legal services. We've been in continued communication with Vera on this issue. This would be a fabulous opportunity for the city to leverage its funds to receive additional support from the Vera National Network for this important work, as well as technical support. And ICS, as a Vera provider here in the state, stands ready to help the city in any way we can to facilitate the relationship with Vera, and we urge you to vote yes on this. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe that concludes our invited testimony. Yes, any?
Thank you. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Commissioner Udaly, for leading this work. It's very impressive. My understanding, it doesn't cost us anything to join this group, and there's a potential for us to get a grant of up to $100,000. Is that correct?
That's correct, Commissioner.
Thank you. Seeing nods. Where does Vera and SAFES get its money from?
They get it from a nationwide donor database. So they've been around since 1961, I believe, and so they have major donors that give them funds. So this is where they receive, at least for Safe Cities, funding, is my understanding.
And does Vera and or SAFE stand for anything? Is it an acronym or?
Yes, it is Safe and Fairness for Everyone.
Great. And do we know the origin of Vera?
I do not. Or the name?
Yes. So the first project that Vera actually worked on was related to reforming cash bail in New York City. And the gentleman who led this work later named the organization after his mother, I believe.
Oh, Wenzel Johannes, you are absolutely fantastic in the breadth and depth of your knowledge. I know that many of us here at Portland, there's only one person that we associate you with the name Vera, so it's really very near and dear to my heart that we're doing this. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Carla, is there any testimony? And thank you.
Thank you. Yes, we have four people signed up. The first three are Robert West, Edith Gillis, and Maggie.
Welcome. Please state your name before you begin your testimony and make sure to keep your testimony relevant to the item at hand.
Okay. First of all, I would like to say that I support this. As long as there's no city money going into it.
This is accepting a...
Yeah. Everyone has a right to legal representation, regardless what it is. People should, even if they're being deported, they should have a right to legal representation. And, you know, that's under the U.S. Constitution, you know, because... being an illegal alien in this country is a criminal act. I disagree with that, but that's the way it is. So, due to their charging them as a criminal act, they're entitled to a lawyer. Okay. One of my concerns was, is if the city's putting money into it, are they going to represent criminal aliens, and is that going to make Portland look bad?
Mr. West, if I could just pause the clock for a moment. This is simply a resolution that will allow us to apply to join a national network with other jurisdictions. There is mm-hmm. no financial cost or budget impact.
Yeah, I said I'm for that. I just said that's what I was concerned of.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that it was just a grant and that they're applying,
so
I was all for it.
So the item at hand is whether you're for or against us being able to apply to join this network.
I'm for it.
Great. Is your testimony concluded?
That's it.
Thank you.
Welcome. Hello, my name is Edith Gillis, and I spend 8 to 24 hours a day for a month as a street medic and an all-round volunteer and support at the Abolish ICE camp. You've heard me testify many times about this, and for years I've been active in the community praying for and supporting folks, as well as for years providing a safe home for people seeking sanctuary from torture. I want to thank and bless you so much, and all the rest of your teams. You have saved lives, and you saved my hope, and you too, for Portland becoming a more sane, safe, humane, and fair community. bless you.
I'm also in support of this resolution. I think Trump's policies are a crime against humanity. And I would like to see no person who applies for asylum turned away, regardless of, you know, what the reason is. And I would like to talk about her testimony, one of the women who testified about how important legal representation is to them not being, immigrants not being deported. And I want to tie this into what I see on a daily basis with people being evicted from either private housing or public housing, and they've got, they're elderly, they're in wheelchairs, they've got walkers, they've got Parkinson's, they've got dementia, they've got Alzheimer's, and they lack legal representation. And when I take them down to aging and disability,
Maggie,
I find out they do not have their disability. Okay. And it's because they lack legal representation.
I need to get you back on track.
Okay.
This is whether
and
or
I'm
not you support us joining.
To,
I understand, but you're going
you
off
know,
track.
These people would be deported without their legal representation. And I'm saying the homeless are unhoused because they do not have legal representation. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
One more person.
One more person.
Charles Bertrand Johnson.
And Mr. Lightning, and we're going to close the list now.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, and as Commissioner Udaly has pointed out, we're focused just on this one small, great part of work that the Vera Institute for Justice does. I have to say, though, that I did appreciate the bridge craning of Maggie, because we also have a public defender crisis in the city. So I hope that the city, as it votes yes to get involved in this network, will also know that there are other situations where inadequate representation that particularly affects people of color is a crisis in Multnomah County. And the Vera Institute, which we should go ahead and vote yes on this item and join, is also focused on some things that the city has taken positive initiative on, reducing mass incarceration, being particularly attentive to disproportionate effect of marijuana crimes. So I look forward to y'all passing this item, especially in the spirit of the city doing everything it can to improve representation in a broken Oregon justice system. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Superhumanity. Yes, I do approve of us moving forward on this. It's my understanding, though, is that Safe Cities is tied to Equity Corp, which we did already approve a $500,000 funding in the budget. So when I'm referring back to that number, I'm just reading off the resolution itself. Now, again, I absolutely want anybody facing deportation to have representation by an attorney, plain and simple. So I like that direction. I like to see that happening, and I like to see the success rate that we have because of that. Now, some of my other concerns, not really a concern, Vera Institute is really a very impressive institute, and I like the fact of we're not just talking immigration. They go into the prison systems, the reforms, solitary confinement. These are all very important areas all tied to this subject, and they take it very serious, so... You know, from my position, any type of funding that may go to them in the future, I wouldn't hesitate on anything a million or plus without any doubt to this institute. They do outstanding work. One of the things that we've used is that term universal, and I'm hoping the Vera Institute can also maybe do a bigger picture analysis I'm sure they have is that what happens if we implement the universal basic income? What happens to the migration, the immigration, the system itself? How can that benefit all the people if we're not moving to different locations just for economic reasons only? And we really need to start looking at this very close and have that understanding is that a lot of people that might be here that are facing deportation, they possibly might have wanted to remain where they're at. I know there's a lot of other circumstances, but if it's economic, a lot of those people might have wanted to remain where they're at. So we really need to start focusing on something more universal that would benefit all the people, and we don't get into these type of situations to begin with. Thank you.
Thank you.